Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Texans, during the game yesterday in the second half, lose right tackle Titus Howard. He goes down awkwardly underneath the pile with a leg injury. It's hard to tell.
I had assumed it was a knee at the time.
Because he got carted off? Or just because
I guess
of the way
so,
it
yeah,
looked?
And because of the, it was a pretty dramatic response by him. And I don't know. They didn't have a very good replay of it. You saw him going down after he's already injured, not the actual injury itself.
Yeah, I mean, look, anytime someone gets carted off, you just assume you assume the worst. Here's Bill O'Brien after the game when asked about Titus Howard.
Just from what I heard after the game, maybe it looked worse than it actually was. And we'll have to wait and see, but hopefully we can get him back at some point. He's played really good football for us, and we'll know more about that later.
Okay. So it's good, and he was wearing a walking boot, which is for an ankle typically, or a foot or something.
Yeah, crutches and a walking boot.
Crutches and a walking boot. That makes me feel a lot better than a knee brace. Because a knee brace, now even the best case scenario for something like that, if it was a knee, would be an MCL, because you can just come back after a few weeks, that I would imagine. But for an ankle, maybe it's a high ankle sprain, which would mean that he'd probably be back for the playoffs and be just fine. It's going to hurt the rest of the season. When you have a high ankle sprain,
you had a high ankle sprain before.
It's the worst. It takes forever, and it still hurts. You'll feel like you're fully recovered. Then you get your ankle in a weird situation. It feels like you sprained it all over again, and then it goes away after a few minutes, and that lasts years potentially too. So I hope that's what it is. If it is something more serious, a high ankle sprain, you can come back from without surgery and everything.
If you're a rookie like Titus Howard, who obviously is still trying to find his way, he's done a nice job so far this year since they've moved him over to right tackle. Let's just pretend for a second it's the worst case scenario with respect to him getting back on the field. Like he's going to be done. It'll be Roderick Johnson at right tackle. What can Titus Howard do as a young player to at least make the rest of his rookie season a productive rookie season?
Oh, he's got to just try to stay mentally checked in as much as possible. He's physically in good shape. We were talking with Clint about this yesterday, because Clint was talking about how, hey, you'll get in the weight room, he'll get stronger, he'll get in better shape and everything. But when you see Titus Howard just walking around practice in his workout clothes, he's put together. He's kind of like Dwayne Brown. He's put together way better than most offensive linemen.
He's not a great big frit person.
Yeah, he's not. There's no sloppiness to him at all.
Right.
He looks like very much like when he's done playing, he could get down to 265 and be shredded.
He was a tight end and a quarterback in college. That would stand to reason, right?
So I think a lot of it with him is going to be on the mental and technique side. And it's hard when you're a young player, especially just even staying awake in meetings sometimes. I'll cross my fingers, and based on what Bill O'Brien said, I hope he comes back. Plus, a couple weeks ago, he left in the middle of a game at home. It must have been the Panthers game, or was it the...
Was it the Panthers game? It must have.
Yeah, it must.
Yeah, I think it was.
He got his arm. Carlos Hyde or Duke Johnson chip blocked the guy that was that Titus Howard was blocking, and he hit Titus Howard's elbow, and I thought that he must have dislocated his elbow or something.
The way he reacted?
The way he reacted. He came back later in the game and played fine. So there might... Maybe Titus just, as a guy that didn't play the more physical positions earlier in his career, maybe there's a little bit of learning curve about, what it's like to get routinely just the crap beat out of you, and that you're all right. It's not a big deal. You'll be fine. Just come on back in.
He was at Alabama State.
Yeah, he hasn't.
The gentlemen that you're running into on a daily basis now are much bigger and stronger and faster.
Yeah.
Maybe you just fear the worst as something happens.
It might just be a little bit more dramatic. I hope that's what it is. I hope that it's, okay, this is what we need to work on.
Maybe he's a thespian.
We need to work on your stoicism, okay? Your ankle, turns out it's a minor ankle issue, but let's be more stoic out there.
I feel like that's going to be a new Madden category.
Stoicism.
Speed, agility, awareness, stoicism. You gotta,
this guy's like Geronimo.
Titus Howard is a 62 stoicism. Yeah. Man. Just brutally bad stoicism.
So, yeah, Geronimo would be good on the stoicism level.
Speaking of the offensive line, Nick Martin had another...
oh, yeah, that's right.
He's doing one of these a game where he snaps the ball to Deshaun, and Deshaun's not expecting it.
Thank you, listener, for pointing that out. This is why the day after the Twitter and the text line is awesome.
We can't ignore in victory what we would pay attention to in defeat.
No, because it's completely true. As we talked about it during the game, and I forgot to write it down. Because what I noted on that, and again, I'll turn a negative into a positive after a day like yesterday where the Astros and the Texans were both magnificent. When Nick Martin yet again snapped the ball to Deshaun before he was expecting it, They gave us a close-up on the replay. It was amazing, like, how calm, cool, and collected Deshaun was in
his
that moment.
His facial expression didn't change.
Right, yeah. Speaking of stoicism,
he's got a 99.
He just kept operating. He was just kind of like, oh, we're going to play a little bit early, and here we go. He didn't act like he was surprised at all. I can't even remember. I think it ended up being a successful play after that. So, I don't know. I'd love to get that cleaned up. I want to say it was maybe it was progress that it happened on the road instead of at home in a quiet environment. At least you have the excuse of the noise here.
Maybe.
When it happens at home, I just don't get it at all.
Yeah.
To look at some of the negatives and make positives into them, there were some miscues and misfires yesterday that didn't matter because you were physically dominating them so much in the other ways, but that if you clean those up, it can get even better. Some of these RPO, the things they were doing in the RPO game, they've got to clean up the offensive line downfield and whatnot, but there were some, those aren't even polished yet, and they already look really good.
I just feel like this is a team that, obviously the last couple weeks have operated with very few problems offensively. They've played pretty well defensively when they've needed to. The problems with this team now, Seth, feel like fixable problems, whereas the problems with this team prior to this season, like you look at last year and you just go, the offensive line is not fixable in this season. You got to get to the offseason, you got to draft some guys. Who knew they were going to make a trade for Laremy Tunsil? I feel like they've got most of it, yeah, maybe still some things in the secondary that may not be fixable this season. You just have to work around these things.
It's a bend but break defense.
Yeah, and that's what it is.
That's what it is. But you have Deshaun Watson looking like the guy that he potentially can be. You are not going to be a dual threat, shut down defense and magnificent offense. You're going to be, if this team's going to really make a push, it's going to be along the lines of St. Louis Rams' greatest show. Their defense was underrated. It's going to be an offensive powered.
I know what you mean.
Situation.
I know what you mean. I posed this question to my Twitter followers last week after the Falcons game and before Game 3 of the Rays series. So at this point, the Astros are up 2-0 in the ALDS when I pose this question. So it's exactly a week later. More wins, the Texans in the 2019 regular season or the Astros in the 2019 postseason? Astros max.
You need 11 to win a World Series.
That's right.
Boy, that's right down. That's a good one all of a sudden. Texans would have to win 7 remaining games, which would mean victories. Let's talk about the Colts on the road, the Ravens
on the road,
the Patriots at home. Those are the three big ones. Those are the three big challenges. At this point, at the very least, the Ravens and the Colts, I think those are very winnable. The Patriots is the huge one. The Patriots is almost now, I'm at the point where 9-7, 11-5, I don't care. If you beat the Patriots, that's my barometer for if you beat the Patriots, if you play them down to the wire, if you give an absolute go of it with the New England Patriots, I don't care what the regular season record is. I'm going to feel completely different about the Texans' chances in the playoffs than I did coming into this season.
I'm going to repost this poll later on today just to see how people feel a week later. Again, the Texans were coming off the Falcons win. The Astros were up 2-0 in the ALDS. 90% of the people said Astros in that poll. 90%. I do wonder, I want to gauge, because I feel like that poll is going to be, I think the Astros will still win, but I think it's going to be, the margin will be shrunk for two reasons. One, the Texans went into Kansas City and beat the Chiefs. That's got to be a win that has people thinking they can win 11 games this year. And the Astros, who knows if they feel the same way tied at 1 with the Yankees in the ALCS as they did up 2-0 over Tampa in the ALDS. I'm going to repost that a little later on today, that hashtag Pender poll right there. Let's do headlines.
Here's a fly ball into right. Back at the wall. This game is over. Correa ends it.
The Astros get a win last night in Game 2, if you stayed up for it, just before midnight, thereby literally making yesterday, in my opinion, the greatest day in Houston sports involving multiple teams was yesterday. The Astros tying up the ALCS with the Yankees at 1. We'll get to the Texans a little later on here in headlines. But, Seth, two areas of this team that came into the postseason with a lot of scrutiny for the Astros, the bullpen and Carlos Correa, were the stories of that game last night. Carlos Correa with that, not just that game-winning home run in extra innings, but the play in the sixth inning to gun down a runner at home plate on what would have been a go-ahead run for the Yankees.
And with Correa, physically he's looked fine throughout the playoffs with making a whole bunch of really good defensive plays. It's been a matter of timing and vision at the plate. And if that came back last night, that's a really, really good sign. Because knock on wood, he's got to do what he's got to keep doing. He's got to lay down on the flight up to New York, right? I feel like maybe the plane should land somewhere about Virginia or something. Everybody get out, take a walk around, stretch Correa out with a qualified massage therapist, and then get back on the plane and go.
If there was a Buc-ee's in Virginia, they should land near a Buc-ee's and get out. That's where I usually like to get out, is at Buc-ee's.
Yeah.
Go in, get a nice chicken wrap, some apples and little peanut butter dippers. Some beaver nuggets.
There's that knockoff Buc-ee's that from, where are they from, Wisconsin or something?
Whatever.
We got to talk to JJ about this.
Yeah.
Well, they put one down. There's one in Clear Lake that's a knockoff Buc-ee's.
Yeah. Won't catch me there.
27-yard line. Deshaun puts the leg down. Here's the snap. Watson throwing. And he hits Hopkins for a first down. The game is over. The Texans can kill the clock in Kansas City.
Seth, that is the 4th-and-3 play that the Texans executed to clinch the game. Bill O'Brien had a choice in that moment. The Texans were at the Chiefs' 25-yard line late in the game, 4th-down-and-3, could have kicked a 45-yard field goal.
Could have attempted a 45-yard
field goal. Could have attempted a 45-yard. I said 25-yard line. It would, yeah. So maybe the 28-yard line thereabouts. Yeah. It would have been a 45-yard field goal, which would have put them up 10 and essentially clinched the game. Or he could do what he did, put the game in the hands of his two best players, Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins, execute, convert the 4th down, and go on to win the game. Look,
this is not a criticism of O'Brien, but in that instance, I have a hard time crediting him with a gutsy play there, because you're also trying to figure out what the hell's going on with your kicker. Was that as much a gutsy move as it was, we can't kick this field goal, we can't make an extra point?
I don't know, and we'll never know the truth, and because O'Brien's not going to answer it in a way that goes, well, are you kidding me? I couldn't kick a field goal there.
Right,
Fairbairn's
right.
Been a disaster.
Do you know what I'm saying? It wasn't by choice, necessarily. It was that, okay, this is our best option at this point.
Yeah, I think back to, the one thing I thought back to was that Patriots game in Deshaun's second start as a pro, when the Texans had a 2-point lead in Patriot territory, 4th and short.
Yeah.
And if you just go and you convert the 4th down, the game is over.
Yeah.
And you keep the ball in Deshaun Watson's hands. Now, that's the second game of his career. Maybe it's a little more justifiable because he's a young player, but he's having a phenomenal day that day. Yesterday, whether it was because of kicking deficiencies or whatever, I like that the game was in the hands of Deshaun Watson at the end of that game.
At the very least, if they don't make a move with the kicker, is there only one person on this team that's capable of holding? It must be.
Clint was asking the same thing in the postgame yesterday.
Is McCarron not out? Your backup quarterback, that's another good guy that usually can do this stuff.
That's if it's a holding issue, they've got to swap out Brian Anger, find somebody else who can hold the damn football.
Darnold, play action, drops the throw, steps up, floats a bomb up the right seam, looking for Anderson, he's got it! At the 40, they're not going to catch him. He's going to go the distance. 10, 5, touchdown. Sam Darnold dials it up to Robbie Anderson. 92 yards. And the Jets have widened their lead.
The Jets get their first win of the year. They had to sweat it a little bit. They were up by 3 touchdowns on the Cowboys. Cowboys came all the way back to have a 2-point conversion attempt that would have tied the game. They don't convert. They lose to the New York Jets 24-22 in New York, Seth, as over a touchdown favorite. Don't look now, but the Cowboys, who were being vaunted early in the season when they were 3-0 as one of the best teams in football, Kellen Moore was already getting discussed for head coaching jobs. The guy had called plays in 3 NFL games. The Cowboys are 3-3 now.
Well, look, Sean, this is the thing you need to understand, though, about the Cowboys is
explain.
They won a bunch of Super Bowls in the 90s. So so you're wrong to be concerned about them. Apparently, that's the response to everything. Jason Garrett, at this talk of Jason Garrett getting fired. How's anybody? Jason Garrett will never get fired. No matter how many of his players refuse to shake his hands as they come off the field. No matter anything that goes on with Jason Garrett, he'll be there forever.
You think he keeps his job?
His brain will be in a jar on the sidelines. Okay. Yeah. The thing about that is, because we make this joke about various people. The thing about the Cowboys' brain in a jar is that it'll be heavily sponsored. Poor Jason Garrett's brain won't be able to see out of the jar because there's going to be so many stickers on it.
The Coca-Cola brain in the jar. Yeah, absolutely. The other development involving teams that Houston fans may care about, not called the Texans, in addition to the Cowboys losing, the Tennessee Titans lost and Marcus Mariota was benched.
The Tennessee Titans lost in a game where Vrabel made yet more curious decisions, punting in the fourth quarter when you're
almost saying he's not a football genius,
Seth? I'm saying
that I was told he was the super smartest guy in the NFL.
I'm saying that these owners hire coaches almost like it's kind of the same way they used to. This is the way they used to have hedge fund managers get their jobs in the 1970s before computers became a big thing. It was like the most popular guy at some guy's fraternity.
Yeah.
It was like some rich hoity-toity school up in the Northeast. They'd be like, oh, I heard good things about Blake Blockerbriar or something. And he's the dashing young guy who's the president of Alpha Chi. And he'd become a hedge fund instead of somebody who's actually competent. That's Vrabel. It's like, he's the man's man. Everybody loves him. He's just a winner, whatever. Oh. Yeah, what's that you say? It was one of the worst defenses in the league when he was a defensive coordinator. Don't worry about it. He's
a hell of
awesome.
A salesman. Yeah.
Now, they do have a good defense, but no quarterback.
Yeah. And I guess everybody who Sean McVay coughed on or had a meeting with now may not be the greatest head coach in the world since he's 3-3.
It's tough because Sean McVay is still, I think, a very good coach. It's just that you need actual players who can execute.
If Sean McVay goes 8-8 and it turns out he's not the second coming of the great head coach, do all the other coaches who were underneath him, who got jobs, like Zach Taylor and Matt LaFleur, do they all die? Like, is it like Game of Thrones where you walk up and you slice the one White Walker and all the other
everybody
soldiers
else dies
that he
created
had converted?
Them.
Yeah. Is it the same thing?
I hope so. That'd be awesome.
That would be really cool.
It'd be fun because Aaron Rodgers would get a third coach to make faces at.
Monday Night Football tonight.
Aaron Rodgers would be able to act like nothing's ever his fault.
Right here on Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.